This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams. With their help, they can help you too. A Rocket Mortgage push button, get mortgage. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. Time to talk a little bit about the debut of the XFL, week one in the books. And we'll also turn our attention to week two, and we welcome to the show the commissioner of the XFL in Oliver Luck. Commissioner, thanks for coming back on, and how are you?
Zach, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me again.
Well, no problem. We thank you coming on, especially after what was a very busy weekend for yourself. When you reflect on the first weekend of the XFL in 2020, what are some thoughts that come to mind?
Well, you know, there was a lot of work done over the last couple of years to get to week one. It's always great to see that first kickoff. I was in D.C., beautiful weather, great crowd, exciting game. Was so happy to see a guy like Cardale Jones, who, you know, great college career, but couldn't find sort of his rhythm, if you will, in professional football. But to see him play the way he did, it was just a lot of fun. We were all very excited. And I think overall, we had a good first weekend. You know, the attendance was healthy. We had good weather, knock on wood. The gameplay, I think, was pretty good. And, you know, ultimately we had some pretty impressive TV numbers too. So all in all, I think we started with some momentum now.
I'll tell you, I was really impressed by the passion of the D.C. fans. And I know they've been hungry for a good football team for a long time. But you know that this is a risk, and, you know, maybe people have some identity issues. To have a city like that and, you know, a part of the country like that really embrace the XFL, I thought was cool.
Yeah, you know, there was just some great, I mean, this was the first game ever, right, for these two teams. And after maybe the third or so completion, Cardale threw a couple of really nice balls early on for his quarter. You know, the one of the end zone sections was just chanting, you know, MVP, MVP. And, you know, it brought a smile to your face. People were having fun. You know, they were enjoying themselves, families, you know, people drinking beer. It was just a great atmosphere. And that's what sports should be, right? It's a release for all of us from our daily, you know, travails. So, and I think that sort of atmosphere was copied in a sense all across the, you know, the country. I mean, I think allowing people to buy a ticket for $20, sitting, you know, in a nice stadium, because all of our venues are really top notch buildings, it's almost as if that brings out sort of a different attitude from the fan. You know, a little bit more carefree, a little bit more open, you know, just having fun. Show me some good football, let's play, you know, because they were just getting to know these teams.
Is the most rewarding part for the job, like when you mentioned Cardale Jones and we get to see him back on a football field, we see P.J. Walker and the star that has been born now in the XFL, and I know I'm going back to college being a Temple guy, but is that the most rewarding part of the job, to give these players an opportunity to continue their football life?
That's certainly, you know, one of the best things that I take some satisfaction in. And it's both coaches and players, and even, you know, staff people. Nobody thinks about the equipment manager or the athletic trainers, the video guys, you know. But all those folks, you know, who are in the business of football, but particularly players. These players, they all have a little chip on their shoulder. They all feel like somewhere along the way they didn't get their due from an NFL scout, or, you know, was stuck behind a couple of all-pro players on an NFL roster. So just to see them have the chance to play on a big platform, you know, national television, that's very rewarding. I mean, so many of these guys during training camp came up to me and said, hey, Mr. Luck, we just want to thank you and Mr. McMahon for putting this league together. It's so much fun to play again. You know, we're just pumped up. Thank you, thank you. I mean, very, very grateful for the opportunity. But, you know, because I think there's a chip on that shoulder, you know, these guys, they're going to play hard. They're going to play real hard.
The commissioner of the XFL, Oliver Luck, here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And another thing that I really did enjoy was the kickoff. Like, right away, when I was watching the game at MetLife Stadium on Sunday, when I tuned in for the first time and I saw the kickoff, that caught my attention right away. I thought it was very neat because, you know, in the NFL, that's a dying play now.
Well, that's the, you know, that's why we designed a different kickoff. You know, for us, it was pretty obvious. You know, fans don't like just to see the ball kicked into the end zone touchback. That's not really much of a play. That's a nothing burger, you know? And so we designed the kickoff the way we designed it. It's got great reviews. In fact, there's some Texas high school coaches that want to take it to their coaches association to recommend, you know, that they do it. And it's based on two things. Our kickoff gets 90% of the ball's return. People like to watch kickoff returns. It's a great play. And it's also safer, right? We've removed that, you know, 40-yard sprint. And as a result, you've removed that collision. So, you know, we don't talk about safety a lot with football because we all know it's a rough game, rough, tough game. But that's important, right? And players, I think, really appreciate the fact that, you know, we're getting these kickoff returns, but it's also a safer play for the guys. So I think if you look at the underlying rationale of why we changed it, it's hard to argue with that.
The transparency was also neat as well. We saw some of these things with the AF, and then we see different versions of it, and even some of the old stuff with the XFL, but having the referees mic'd up and also the replay ref mic'd up too. And I thought overall both Fox and ESPN just did a good job with the presentation of the broadcast. When I was watching the guys on Fox, Burkhardt and Greg Olson, it seemed of a professional, you know, broadcast type of quality, as if it was an NFL game when you immediately turned into it.
Well, I think we sometimes underestimate how important it is when you turn a game on to hear a voice that you recognize, right? That it all of a sudden tells you, oh, this is big time, right? This is NFL quality or this is major college quality. So, you know, whether it's Kurt Menefee, you know, or, you know, Steve Levy or even Pat McAfee, my buddy, right?
Our very own Pat McAfee. He was awesome. He was great.
Yeah, no, I mean, all of those guys, like, exude credibility. So, you know, and think about this, right? Rich Russo, he's a producer for Fox Sports. Most folks don't know him. He produced the Super Bowl. And where is he the next week with us producing the Houston game? That, you know, that's the type of caliber, the type of quality, the type of class that you've got with, you know, all the people behind the scenes, but as well with the, you know, with the commentators. It's really good. And I love, you know, tapping into, you know, listening to the coach, listening to, you know, the referees discuss, you know, their issues. We have to get the right balance, right? Because we always want to protect the integrity of the game. But, you know, for a fan to listen in to Norm Chow's play call or, you know, June Jones's play call, that's pretty cool. That is really cool. How often does that happen? Or to get a glimpse of what a head coach might say in the locker room at halftime or pregame. You know, I thought, you know, Kevin Gilbride, the head coach in New York, I thought his talk pregame was awesome. You know, I got goosebumps just watching that TV. I wanted to go out and play.
I'm okay with the interviews during the game with the coaches and the players after a big play or a negative play. The play calls, though, being shown to the viewer, you know, as a viewer, I didn't love that because I think something so cool as a football fan sitting on my couch is to try to guess that play and the suspense factor. So I think that balance is important because there was a lot of times where you would hear the coach call the play, and not that you exactly know where the ball is going, but you could tell if it's a pass or a run, and that was just something I didn't like, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I think there's some validity in that. You know, a lot of times for many fans, you know, particularly for folks who hadn't, you know, played the game, you know, it's Chinese, it's gibberish, you know, Charlie Smash, bingo left. You know, what is that, right? So, but I think, you know, in my experience, right, as a former quarterback, I couldn't tell you how often people would ask me when I was playing, hey, what do you say in the huddle? What does it sound like? And you talk about other things beyond just the play. You make, I don't know, dinner reservations or whatever, right? So I think, you know, providing that access, a lot of folks enjoy that. We have to balance it, though. You're right.
The commissioner of the XFL, Oliver Luck, here with us. Can you take us through the decision-making process, you know, to go to some of these larger stadiums? For example, You guys probably are never going to sell out MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. What was the decision and what was the thought process on going to some of these bigger NFL type of stadiums?
Yeah, we wanted to be in those venues where football was traditionally and is traditionally played. And, of course, you know, you don't have a whole lot of options in a number of markets. So, you know, we've got a couple of places, MetLife. We got Tampa and Raymond James. Those are big NFL buildings, obviously. And you know, we're happy. We're satisfied with the initial response in terms of tickets. But, you know, it's a challenge to fill those buildings up because they're massive, right? And in some markets, you really don't have many alternatives. In Tampa, there's not really an alternative, quite honestly. Out in Seattle, you know, we're playing at CenturyLink. That is both the NFL and the MLS venue. So, you know, many markets just have limited venues. You know, the atmosphere down in D.C. at the MLS building there, Audi Field, which seats about 20,000, was awesome, right? In an intimate field, the atmosphere down in Houston, which is a college stadium, a little bit smaller, seats about 40,000. We just sold the lower bowl, which was maybe, you know, capacity of 18 or 19. That looked good, was rocking. Dallas, you know, that's the old baseball, the old Globe Life Park building, right? The old Rangers building, which, you know, they renovated into football. That's a big building, and it has the baseball line. So, you know, that first four or five rows are pretty far from the field. But we filled the lower bowl there nicely. I guess you could call us, in a sense, you know, league that looks at, you know, at least initially in the first couple of years, of filling that lower bowl up and then gradually growing.
And the ratings show that there's definitely an appeal for this for week one, because, you know, as someone that woke up on Sunday, you know, I watched a little bit on Saturday, but fully devoted my time to the XFL on Sunday. And I woke up a week removed from the Super Bowl saying, I got to place my bets. You know, I got to go out to the store, get the chips and the salsa, because I wanted to watch more football. And I thought it was neat. You know, and I only, you know, I watched as much as I could. But what from my notice with my observations, it seemed like ESPN really embraced the gambling with the over-under right on the screen, and Fox not so much. You know, how important is embracing the gambling, and how do you want to see that evolve with the networks?
It's hugely important to us. We you know, acknowledge and recognize and are very honest about, you know, the interest that we have in the gambling community. People like to gamble on football, duh, right? I mean, let's not deny that. So we want to embrace the gambling community as part of our fan engagement strategy. We had the spread and the over-under, you know, running on the ESPN broadcasts. And, you know, as we go forward, we'll end up doing a lot more. But it's a new world. We want to, of course, as commissioner, my responsibility, we want to make sure we maintain the integrity of the game. But, you know, if folks want to, you know, wager on one of our games, we absolutely welcome that and want to continue to engage with, you know, with the community. So your experience, I think, is similar to a lot of folks. I'm hearing this from a bunch of my buddies. You know, they love the fact that even though you can get the over-under and spread elsewhere, they love the fact that it's right there on the television screen.
Yeah, especially when you have announcers like McAfee embracing that. I thought it was very neat. A few more with the commissioner of the XFL, Oliver Luck. So you had a very successful first week. Now it's about retaining the audience, retaining the viewer, and getting them to come back, not just for weeks two and three, but the rest of the season. And that's one thing that I'm skeptical about with any spring football league, not just yours. I think you guys have a chance to succeed with the backing of McMahon and also with the big networks partnering up. As commissioner, how do you plan to get the fans to keep on coming back? Because, you know, we talked about that a lot yesterday, and people are undecided if they're going to return in the future.
Sure. Well, I think the most important thing is we continue to sell $20, $25 tickets. That's critical, and I don't
Huge.
Mean that, you know, as a smart aleck. I think that's very legitimate. I think that the quality of play will continue. From my experience with leagues like this, you know, I ran NFL Europe for 10 years and was involved with, you know, with MLS. It's almost always the second game that really gives the true identity of a team, right? So I'm very curious this week to see, you know, how these games play out. We've got a couple of, you know, unbeaten teams going at each other. I think the biggest game is going to be New York going down to D.C., two teams that look pretty good. You know, had great quarterback play in New York with McGloin and D.C. with Cardale Jones. I think that's going to be just a good rock'em sock'em game down in D.C. So it's up to us, really, to continue to play good football, to continue to you know, give access to folks where for things that they normally don't have access to. You know, they continue to do what we've done with week one. I'm sure we'll see some kind of a dip. That's inevitable. There's always a curiosity factor. But I appreciate your confidence in us having sort of the best opportunity to maintain, you know, some decent levels of viewership, good attendance, and most importantly for us, and this is the key, is to continue to play good football. But I've got all the confidence in the world, as I did even, you know, before week one, got all the confidence in the world in our coaches and our players. These guys got a chip on their shoulder, and they're going to play hard, and that means we're going to see good, emotional, competitive football.
You know, people want to see stars. That's why people tune in to the National Football League and other leagues as well. Maybe you develop some stars. We've seen the way people have really, you know, attached to P.J. Walker, and you have someone like Cardale Jones, who's well-known, you know, in addition to some other players. I don't think you need a player like Johnny Manziel in week one, two, or three, but maybe if the product gets a little stale, you know, I know that you guys had, you know, he was, you know, very, you know, confrontational and said a few mean things about the XFL over the weekend. But is that a door that's still open, you know, if a team wants to go sign him maybe in week four or five of the XFL? And would you be, you know, embracing that?
Well, I'm really happy with the quarterbacks that we have. McGloin looked awesome. He looked like he, you know, just hadn't missed a beat, you know, since his days as a Raider. Cardale played, I thought, very well. Philip Walker, P.J. Walker, your Temple guy, you know, looked awesome down in June Jones's offense. Landry Jones missed the first week because of his knee injury, but he's back this weekend. Same is scheduled for Josh Johnson. I thought Brandon Silvers, even though he threw a pick six, looked pretty solid for Seattle. So we're happy with our quarterbacks. I've decided I'm not going to talk about any other players that aren't under contract in our league.
Fair enough. Hey, last one for you, Commissioner, before we let you run. You've been great with us. XFL Commissioner Oliver Luck here with us on the show. One thing I don't get is, how do you fire a defensive coordinator after one game? I know L.A. allowed a lot of points, but to fire Pepper Johnson after one game seems a little excessive, no?
Well, I would defer to Winston Moss, the head coach out there. You know, the head coach is also the GM in our system, and they ultimately, you know, have complete control and purview of their assistant coaching staff. So, yes, I agree, it does seem, a little bit unusual after one week. That's ultimately the decision that Winston Moss, the head coach, made.
Well, I appreciate your time as always. Always appreciate when you come on the show. Good luck, and we'll be watching next week. Thank you.
Thanks, Zach. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.